Your Moody Radio weather forecast. The heat and humidity continue today. Low 90s, heat index about 102. We should get sunshine, although we could see a shower or thunderstorm pop up. A few clouds for the overnight hours. We're in the upper 70s, and then we get scattered showers and thunderstorms around most of the day on Sunday. Mix of sun and clouds, hot and humid again. We're going up to 90. This is staff meteorologist Steve Hamilton for Moody Radio, Florida.
This is Moody Radio, WKES Lakeland, Tampa Bay at 91.1 FM, WSOR Naples, Fort Myers, Cape Coral at 90.9 FM, WKZM Sarasota, Bradenton at 104.3 FM, WHGN Crystal River, Inverness, Ocala at 91.9 FM, W215CJ Tampa at 90.9 FM, worldwide at moodyradio.org/Florida and through our free apps for smartphones and tablets. Why in the world would the Lord Jesus curse a perfectly good fig tree just because he was hungry? Stay with me. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Hello, friends. Welcome to Open Line with me, Michael Radelnik. This is Moody Radio's Bible Study Across America. I'm Professor Emeritus of Jewish Studies and Bible at Moody Bible Institute, and I am so glad to be sitting around the radio kitchen table with you, talking about your questions about the Bible, God, and the spiritual life. Well, now's a great time to call if you have a question. The phone number here is 877-548-3675. And the reason I mention that right away now is at the top of the hour when we start the program, that's the best time to call. We've got all our lines open. The phone number, 877-548-3675. Trisha is always our supervising producer. You'll get to hear from her in a little bit. Lisa is in the chair today. Omar is handling all things technical, and I think it's either Simon or Karen answering phones. It's Simon.
Let's talk about the cursing of the fig tree. The other day, I heard a Bible critic attack the Lord Jesus because he cursed the fig tree. The story is found in Mark, chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to read it.
I heard a Bible critic.
You have a Bible and want to follow along.
Mark 11, 12 through 14. The story is found in Mark,
when they came out
chapter
from Bethany,
11, verses
he was
12
hungry.
Through 14. I'm
After
read
seeing
it.
In the distance a
Bible,
fig tree with
Mark,
leaves,
11,
he went to find out if there was
14.
Anything on it.
The next
when
day,
he came to it, he found nothing but leaves.
From Bethany, he was
because
hungry.
It was not the season
After
for
seeing
figs,
the distance of fig tree
he said to it,
with leaves,
may no one ever
he
eat
went to
fruit
find
from
out
you
if there was anything
again.
On it. When he came to it, he
hurt.
Found nothing but leaves.
So now the rest of the story
because
is found in Mark 11,
19-25.
It tells
it,
how the
may
next
no
day
one ever eat
the disciples
from
found
you again
that
his disciples
the fig tree had withered.
Now the rest
well,
of the story,
this gospel story has been
Mark 11, 19-25. It tells how the next day the disciples found that the fig tree had withered. Well, this gospel story has been misinterpreted three ways. First, critics have complained that the story shows the Lord Jesus to be vengeful. Just because he was hungry, he cursed a fig tree with leaves,
to be hateful.
But no fruit.
Based on the fig tree said
yet
to represent Israel,
it was not
and
the
then
season
it wrongly
for figs. That's verse 13.
When the Lord Jesus cursed
a second misinterpretation
tree,
is that cursing the fig tree shows Jesus to be hateful. This is based on the fig tree said to represent Israel, and then it wrongly asserts that when the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was cursing the Jewish people. And a third criticism faults the Lord Jesus for being wasteful. The argument is that he shouldn't have destroyed a perfectly good tree because fig trees are so valuable. Well, let's take these one by one. The allegation about the Lord Jesus being vengeful and selfish, vindictive, comes from a failure to understand the horticulture of the first century Israel. In that part of the world, fig trees sprout unripe figs before they grow their leaves, so the fruit should be there even before the leaves come. These unripe figs were often eaten by the poor and others when they were hungry. It was okay to eat them when they were unripe. So by the time the Lord the Lord Jesus sees the leaves on the fig tree, it should already have had unripe but edible figs on it. The absence of the fruit now proves that this tree was barren. It would never provide fruit at all. In fact, it would likely be cut down before very long. So the cursing of the fig tree was not really vindictive, selfish, vengeful, whatever they're saying. As for the charge that the Lord Jesus was hateful of Israel, the context shows that the fig tree represented religious hypocrisy, not the Jewish people. The verses immediately following the cursing of the fig tree are about the visit of the Lord Jesus to the temple with his disciples. The encounter there is with the money changers, and it reveals that now the holy temple has become a business operation.
Though the religious leadership at the temple looked holy,
really
kind of
Mark 11,
holy, but they were not producing spiritual fruit.
The big trees had
they were
leaves,
spiritually barren.
No fruit.
Therefore,
so the religious leadership at the temple
this kind of religiosity
holy, really kind
would
of leafy,
wither, even
but
as
they were
the
not producing spiritual fruit.
This is
they
an important lesson for
barren.
Those of us who are
therefore,
committed followers of the
what
Lord.
What this is saying is that
it's
this kind
to
of religiosity
the trap of putting out our leaves, so
even
showing
as
off our holiness, talking about how much we pray
this is
or read Scripture.
For those of us who
God
are
is
committed
looking
followers
for
of the Lord
authentic
Jesus.
Fruit in
it's
our lives.
Easy to
God never wanted us to take
putting
advantage
out
of
our leaves,
others,
so to speak,
as they were doing in the temple, but rather to
much
love
we
and care for those around us.
But
we
God is
more
looking for authentic
in
fruit in our
not
lives.
A religious
God
show.
Never wants us to take
and the answer to the Lord Jesus being wasteful
doing in the
is
temple,
that there was a second
to love
important
and care
spiritual
for
lesson
those
learned
us.
From the fig tree,
we need
and that
more
namely
fruit
was
in our
about
lives,
prayer.
Not a religious show.
And the next day, when the disciples
the
were amazed
to the Lord Jesus
the fig tree
wasteful,
had already,
is that there was
already
a
withered,
important spiritual lesson
the Lord Jesus
from the
taught
fig tree,
them about prayer.
That
he told them that
about,
if they prayed in faith, they
the next
too
day, when the disciples were amazed that the fig tree had already withered,
mountain moving is an illustration
the Lord
of the
Jesus
power
taught them
of prayer,
about prayer.
Not a literal
he told
exercise.
Them that if they prayed in faith,
rush more into
they too could move.
The Lord
mountains.
Jesus didn't cause the tree to wither.
Support
to recognize.
Mountain moving is
through
an illustration of the power of prayer.
Power
not a literal
as
exercise
the Son of God,
like
His
moving
divine power.
More into the
rather,
Pacific Ocean. The Lord Jesus didn't cause the tree
prayer,
to wither. This is important to recognize. Through
the Lord's
the
point
of his
was that mountain-moving prayer is a privilege
God,
given to
power.
All followers
rather,
who will trust God completely.
It
it's a great reminder for us.
Prayer of faith
we each have special needs
father.
And issues that
the
we
Lord's
need to bring
point
to the Lord.
Was that mountain-moving prayer is a privilege given
praying,
to all
even
followers
when
will
the
trust
circumstances
God completely.
Seem
it's
impossible.
A great reminder for us.
Praying in faith
we each have special needs and issues that
and
we need to bring to the Lord.
Bring the
and we have to be consistent and persistent in
well,
praying.
Certainly the Lord Jesus could have chosen some other way
can
to teach a lesson on prayer.
Praying in faith
but
can move
if we destroy trees
and ultimately
to make mundane items like paper
need.
Or mulch,
well,
certainly
the Lord
Jesus
could have chosen some
barren
other
tree
way to teach a lesson
to wither.
On prayer. But
withering
if we
a barren
destroy trees
to teach really
make mundane items like paper truth. Or mulch, certainly the Lord Jesus could use a barren tree to wither.
I'd like to tell you about our current resource. It's a terrific book by Charlie Dyer. He's one of the world's foremost experts on Bible prophecy. He was our guest last week. You can go back on your Moody Radio app or on the podcast, or you can go back to the website
by
and
Charlie
listen
Dyer.
To last week when Charlie was here.
On Bible
we were together in seminary at a doctoral program. He also was just someone I really look up to as a Bible teacher.
Last week when Charlie was here,
chosen for our current seminary, his book, What Does the Bible Say About the Future? That's because so many people are asking questions about
I really look up
to as a Bible teacher. Like that. They're asking questions about
chosen for our current resource, his book, What Does the Bible Say
About
the Future? That's because so many people are asking questions about because the war is
biblical,
the Middle East and things like that. They're asking questions about
it's a great book and it's yours when you give a gift of any size to open life.
About prophecy,
and we
Israel,
so want to
say,
we're so grateful for your gift that we want to say thank you by
it's
sending
sensationalist.
You this book.
It's a great
if you'd like
book.
To give,
yours,
just call
888-644-7122
or go to openlineradio.org
if you'd like
to
give
online there. Remember, ask for What Does the Bible Say About the Future? We're
going to
talk with Terry in Illinois, listening
line
on WMBI.
Online.
Welcome, Terry. How can I help you today?
Hi, good morning to you, Dr. Bell down there. Well, I have had this burning question for many WMBI. Months. Welcome, Terry. And how can I help you since today? We're talking about the uterine of Petri, I thought I would call and ask about people, where they come from, why they are allowing,
and why I think we're talking about the withering of Petri, I thought I would call and ask about people, where they come from,
Terry, that's a really big question.
Well, I've had big conversations with my pastor about it,
yeah.
And one time he told me that evil did not come from God.
That's right, he's not the author of evil.
And that God would not allow it. But isn't God sovereign?
God is sovereign. Okay, I'm going to give you a sort of, there are many, many things to be said about evil. And so, Terry, I have a little bit of an answer to that in a book I've written called 50 Most Important Bible Questions. And so what I'd like you to do is hang on, and you can talk with Lisa. She'll get your address, and we'll mail you a copy of that book. It's one of the questions I deal with in there, okay? But I just want to, I'm going to give you one of several perspectives about why did God allow evil, okay? Yes, he's sovereign. The point is that God does always does everything that's the best. He doesn't do that which is good. He does that which is
never allow evil. That would make us automatons. But the fact that he allowed Adam and Eve to choose to disobey and allow evil to come into the world shows that he didn't want to have a relationship.
Never allow evil. That would make us automatons.
Hi, is this Gordon from Florida?
I am.
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing today?
Well, your caller ID is good. I got my question ready. I was too slow last week. You ready?
Yeah. Hey, actually, Gordon, we're not going to be able to get you on air.
What?
Michael has asked that we not take.
Oh, my God. What have I done? My question is pretty simple.
There was a, well, no, because when we do put you on air, it turns out.
No, no, I'm not the guy that changes his mind and lies. I'm not going to lie and change my question. My question is what I emailed you and what I called in last week.
Yes.
It's the same question.
Yeah.
So when I don't understand why, but what in the world?
Yeah.
Well, listen, look, if you guys are afraid to take a question, do you think that you can do it as a mailbag? You got my question. Do you think you can?
We can try. You can email. Yeah.
No, hold on. Number one, I already did email it. Number two, I sent it through the website. And number three, who is this? What's going on? What have I done to alienate you guys?
So here's what it is. We have a radio program, and sometimes questions are better. We have to.
Okay, now look. My question is,
your questions tend to go on a little bit longer than we.
Well, no, hold on. You have. Hold on. You don't even know what the question is. Let me read it, and then you can make your mind up. I'm confused about how the rapture can be at any moment. If there's a 7-year peace treaty that people can see, and how there can be peace and safety if there's a rapture where millions vanish. Is that question is a very straightforward, it's a hard question, but it's a very short question.
But it's not necessarily the question, it's then the comments that come after it.
Hold on. Listen. What kind of comment could be you have a 10-second delay. Number one, I'm not going to make any comment with a cuss word or something. And number two, you have a 10-second delay. What?
It's the length of the conversation. It goes on for too long. Well, then
you guys know how to cut me off. Number one, hold on. Just relax.
I have to put you on hold. Hold on.
Just relax.
I hope that helps a little bit.
Those are some of the reasons I would say
I've lost her now.
God,
I hope you're listening, Terry, and talk with
just
Lisa
good.
To get the.
I hope that helps a little bit, Terry.
Address so we can send you that book. We're gonna take a break here.
I've lost her now.
And when we do, we'll come back with more of your questions. Again, the phone number 877-548-3675. Want to let you know we're coming up with a cruise next June to Alaska. Carl Clausen, Mike and Tyler will be on that cruise June 4th through the 11th. Stay with us. Check out our website about the cruise. That's a great place to see about joining us next June for a period of time.
Check out our website about the cruise. That's a great place to see about joining us next June for a terrific time in Alaska. Hi, this is Ron.
version is one of the most dramatic in Scripture. This is Today in the Word from Moody Bible Institute. I'm Donald Leland. Saul was aggressively pursuing Jesus' disciples. However, while on the road to Damascus, Jesus spoke to him through a flashing light and audible voice. Today in the Word, we hear that famous voice in Acts 9:3. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jesus' communication with Saul was both personal and confrontational. Saul responded, "Who are you, Lord?" God then gave Saul clear instructions to enter the city, wait and listen. Saul's traveling companions were speechless, and Saul was struck blind. He was unable to act on his own accord. Jesus had his attention, and Saul could only wait. In the next conversation, Jesus spoke to Ananias in a vision, instructing him to find Saul and restore his sight. Ananias responded honestly, expressing his fear and reluctance. But God revealed to Ananias Saul's new identity and mission. In the final conversation, Ananias found Saul, laid his hands on him, and called his brother and restored his sight. The scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was baptized as a follower of Jesus. Immediately, Saul began to preach the gospel boldly in the Damascus synagogue. Although he had a credibility problem, the Jews knew his reputation and were understandably leery. That did not deter Saul. He continued to preach and his ministry bore fruit. You speak boldly about your faith. Ask the Lord to help you remain faithful and free from fear as you testify to his saving power. Why not share the ministry of Today in the Word with a friend? Point them to our website, todayintheword.org.
Thank Lisa for being here. You know, just sitting in the chair, having to get ready, keep people ready for the air. Omar making me sound good. He's always out. Lisa like sitting in the chair, radio voice. Then having to get ready, keep ready for only Omar the air. It's not easy. We love the
and Omar making me sound good. People always say, "Oh,
I love
radio
all
voice.
The
that may not be a person I sound like picking out."
It's only
Omar that
makes me sound good.
We love
table partners
the,
who are also
the
part
team
of the team.
Here
they give money,
that
so
works together.
There.
I love all the
appreciate
people
so
at Moody Radio that puts this program on
the
air. Every other week, you. I appreciate especially the kitchen table partners who are also part of the team. They give money so we can be on the air. We appreciate them so much. I send
doing
a Bible study
and I right
every
now
week,
on
a special Bible study.
Here's a dish where you had to be a mensch.
We're
going to join now by Jeff in Houston, Texas, listening on KHCB. Welcome to Open Line, Jeff. How can I help you today?
Or go to Open Line.
I'm going to be really, really quick.
Second Thessalonians 2:3-4.
Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
I've got it right here if you want me to read it. Well, I'll read it from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I always like to say it again so that people can get to their Bible if they want to look at it. Here's what it says.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
It says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's sanctuary, publicizing that he himself is God." You have a question about that?
Yes. Billy overcame a nation in 1947, and they're not gonna be a nation. They're not gonna be driven into the sea, anything like that. But
Israel became a nation in 1947.
In order for them to build the temple, this third temple, they're going to have to be appeased.
You know what, Jeff, why don't you just ask me a question, okay? It's a little bit easier that way instead of giving me the whole preamble, okay?
They're going to have to be appeased.
The man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the future false Messiah, is he here now?
Yes.
You know, first of all, I want to say I have no idea.
The man of lawlessness,
but
I'm going to
give you my theory. There's some things that...
Is he here
that,
now?
There's always a spirit of Antichrist, of course.
You know, first of all, I want to say I have no idea.
And I believe that what the Antichrist is someone
that
who is...
That there's always a spirit of Antichrist, according to first John.
Possessed, I guess would be the word,
and
demonized, you know, but not just by a demon,
the
but controlled by
is
Satan.
Someone who is...
Okay? Satan possessed, you could say. And
possessed,
so
I
think
the
that
word,
there's always someone,
you know, but
in every generation
demon, but
that if events
Satan.
Happen, because Satan...
Okay.
Hi, Gordon. Satan. Thanks for holding. So again, we're not going to take your question, and we don't really have time to give you...
Lisa, you guys
why?
Can cut me off.
Yes.
If I'm too talkative, you're not to cut me off. So I don't believe that.
Well, we are going to take your call. I do have to let you go. I have other calls.
Well, wait a second. How's my question too hard?
We're not arguing about it, Gordon. It takes too long to get your...
Well, hold on. Can't you put it in the mailbag?
I'm sorry. I have to let you go.
Can you guys consider it for the mailbag? What have I done to deserve this? I haven't done anything. I very rarely call in. Hello?